97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic. 601 broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until 6:45 this evening as we get you set for Sixers Kings basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 76ers back at it after a tough loss on Monday to the Toronto Raptors, where we all have dissected the entire thing and going over both Embiid and Simmons and Brown and what went wrong and how could your all-star, all-pro center go scoreless. I understand, and I'm with you. And I said it then, and I'll say it now as we get ready for this game, as long as he's playing, that he's going to have a night tonight. So we lead you up into Sixers pregame coverage right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com will anchor the pregame coverage live from the center. Tom McGinnis on the game call with the Kings coming in into town. So it should be an interesting matchup. Last year they had a fun little time against one another last year. Nice little back and forth in their home and home. One game on the road for the Sixers, one game back here in Philadelphia. So it should be a fun matchup tonight with the Kings. 7-9 are the Kings, 3-6 away from the Golden One Arena Center, whatever it's called, out there in Sacramento. You know how names change so much. And the 76ers now 11-6 overall, 7-0 at home. So I expect for them to do exactly what they do, which is protect their home floor and, come away with the victory tonight and get back on track. As we know, starting back last week against the New York Knicks, where they had the home game against the Knicks on Wednesday, they had 13 of 18 at home during the 18-game stretch, and protect your house. Now, what they need to do also is figure out how to get these wins on the road at 4-6. They have to. And last year, their road record was not great, but it was okay. Played very well against the Western Conference teams. And this year, they really needed to start to try to get things together on the road. We know about the early road trip, and that was a barometer for me at the start of the season. And you look at those barometers that you try to have set for you when you look at how the schedule is played out. Not necessarily how the NFL is, where you have the 16 games and you can go each and every game and kind of predict how things are going to play out, at least for you, how it should play out. But in this case, when you looked at the Sixers' schedule, I wanted to see how things, and I wasn't the only one, but see how they started off with that early road trip where they went to Portland, Phoenix, Utah, and Denver, coming away 1-3 in every one of those games. Joel Embiid missing two, Ben Simmons missing one, leaving the first quarter of that Utah game because of the shoulder injury. 1-3. So while you want to give them an excuse for, not necessarily give them an excuse, but say, okay, all right, they weren't at full strength for all four of those games. But even then, when we say, how did the game play out? And when you say, how did the game play out? They were in every one of them. They came down to the final minutes, final seconds, if you will, of a few of those games on the road. And you have to find a way to come away with those victories, at least two of them, right? Especially that Denver game with how it happened. So as we look at the Sacramento Kings tonight, as they are coming in town after a loss, a close loss to the Celtics in Boston, 103-102. They are, this is the fourth game of their road trip. So you know they're really trying to get out of here, get back to California, and get back on their home floor. 7-9 right now, losing to the Celtics on Monday, 103-102. They are without De'Aaron Fox. They do bring to town former Sixer Rashawn Holmes, former Sixer Dwayne Dedmon as two of your big men. Rashawn Holmes starting right now. He played 28 minutes in that game on Monday against the Celtics, and Holmes gave you 8 and 5 rebounds, 2 block shots. If you haven't really paid attention to Rashawn Holmes, he's really the same player. A little more, obviously a little more mature being back in the league for being in the league for the amount of years that he's been in. If you haven't seen him, I watched him last year with Phoenix, so I paid close attention for obvious reasons with the Phoenix Suns. And you can see where he still has that same athleticism, the same rim-to-rim runner that he is, the shot blocker that he is, defensively one-on-one. He's still not that type of guy that you're worried about if you are the 76ers, right, going against him tonight, especially against Joel Embiid, a Joel Embiid that should be charged up after the awful performance that he had on Monday against Toronto. I'm looking at this one and saying matchup Sixers advantage there because of not only Rashawn Holmes starting, but also when Dwayne Dedmon comes into the game, still no match for Embiid. So this should be a fun game. Once again, no De'Aaron Fox for the Kings tonight. They're going to probably go with the starting lineup of Bilicia. You remember him, right? Remember when the Sixers signed him last year during free agency? Agreed to a deal, was asked to be let go, let out of that deal, that agreement, and eventually signed with the Sacramento Kings. So he starts at one forward, Rashawn Holmes, Harrison Barnes, Corey Joseph, and Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield did drop 41 on the Boston Celtics in Boston on Monday night. 12 of 15 of 26 from the floor, 11 of 21 from deep. Bogdanovich came off the bench. Bogdanovich came off the bench, 5 of 20 from the floor, 2 of 13 from deep, and 13 points. Harrison Barnes dropped 20 as well. Those were the only three players in double figures for the Kings. And Bogdanovich can get going. Watched him a couple of weeks against the Suns, and he cannot miss. So that's someone that the Sixers are going to have to focus, pay close attention to him when he comes off the bench. That will certainly be the assignment of Josh Richardson, James Ennis, Matisse Thybul, those wing defenders when Bogdanovich is out there. And looking at the Sixers again, the game against the Raptors on Monday, we talked about plenty about that game. Terrible performance by Joel Embiid for allowing himself to go scoreless that way. Oftentimes when I say you give credit to the defense for what they did, and we even had a call last night from Uptown, I think it was Malik, when I said that Marc Gasol basically dominated Embiid on a defensive end, and he didn't like that I said dominated as if it was a one-on-one thing overall, and he was right. It was a team defensive effort, but Marc Gasol played him well, and Joel Embiid let them off the hook by settling for outside shots, not getting enough work down there on the block, not demanding the ball enough on the block. And when he did get some of those shots on the perimeter, I thought he was selfish with how he was trying to find his rhythm since he was already scoreless at that time and was giving them absolutely nothing on the offensive end. He has to have a better game tonight, certainly.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb, man.
You are not. And you need to be tonight. And it also goes to this, and we really didn't address much of it. Ben Simmons, we pointed the finger at him for a variety of reasons, specifically that awful shot attempt at the end of the game. Well, not even the end of the game, pardon me, with 6 seconds left in the final seconds of the game. After he retrieved the offensive rebound off of the missed Tobias Harris shot, as a point guard, And this kind of lends to some of the problems that people will have with Ben Simmons being a point guard. I have my own issues, but I'm still willing to allow him to have the basketball to run the team. When your big man is not rolling the way he needs to, we've already gone on and on and on about how he needed to take over. And I go back to the Orlando Magic game a week or so ago when he needed to step up and give you more than 12 shots and give you 22 to 25 shots. Because that was a winnable game. Your big man is out. Your star player is out. You are the next star player. Step up your game offensively and walk out of Orlando with a victory. But in this particular game against the Toronto Raptors, while he almost had a triple-double, 10, 14, and 9, doesn't mean anything if you don't, again, up your offensive game when your other star player is not performing well. And number two, when you see him struggling early as a point guard, and I'm not comparing myself as if I played on a super high level to say it, but as a point guard, you want to get your guy going. Brett Brown may call a play. He may call this. He may call that. I'm going to have a conversation with my other teammates on the floor, the other three, and say, hey, guys, we got to get Joel going. I'm going to call. Brett might call this, or I'm going to tell Brett, hey, Brett, I'm getting Joel Embiid going. It's going to be in the flow of the offense. I'm going to call a good play. This is what's going to happen. And I didn't see that enough either. As a leader, as a point guard, I need him to get his big man going. Whether it's him breaking down the defense and dumping it off for an easy layup, jump hook, jumper, dunk, whatever it might be, that's what he has to do for his big man as the leader, as the point guard, to allow his star player to start to try to gain some confidence. And even if he misses, we know, get to the free throw line, see the ball go through the hoop, and go from there. We have plenty of time to talk about some things with this team. And quick breaking news, the Eagles have signed a contract extension 5 years for kicker Jake Dillon. That wasn't worthy of the noise, but I understand. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. So we're going to talk some Sixers on the other side, get your thoughts on tonight's game, what you want to see out of the guys tonight, what you expect from Embiid in a rebound game after the worst performance I've seen from him in his NBA career. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 6:45, leading you into Sixers Kings basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
619, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back. Devon Givens with you until 6:45, handing things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage live from the center as the 76ers are back at home to host the Sacramento Kings. And we talk about what you're looking forward to tonight, coming off of a tough loss to the Toronto Raptors on Monday, 101-96. Sacramento fell to the Boston Celtics on Monday, 103-102. Buddy Hield with 41 points. No De'Aaron Fox, still out with the ankle injury. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's get things started on the phones, get everybody's thoughts on the game tonight and what you are looking for against the Kings in South Philly. Bill in Swanksville tips things off for us right here on 97.5. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Devon, how are you? You know, I mean, of course you're looking for a victory tonight, but one of the things, how I feel, with Ben and this and that, and I'm kind of feeling that same disappointment with JoJo right now. Just my thing is this with the Sixers, Devon. This is a league of superstars. They don't have a superstar. They don't, and Trey kind of said this on Anthony's show, and I was, heard him say it, and it's exactly my thought. You know, without like a Butler like last year, they don't have an alpha dog. They don't have somebody in the fourth quarter who could just flat out take over a game. And that's why they lose these close games. And to me, I think one of the things that just killed them, kind of looking back, that really hurt was LeBron turning this down.
Yes.
And I think LeBron would not have allowed these two to progress and develop like that. And I really think, we need that. Like I said, that alpha, you take the eye test, like I said, that's what separates in the NBA. When you get those games, your Kawhis, your LeBrons, guys like that, like Jimmy Butler's, who could just flat out take over a game. And these guys kind of play hot potato, they just want to get rid of the ball and they're a little bit of afraid. And, they just don't shoot as well from the free throw line and beat and, of course, Simmons
Tobias and Embiid shoot a very good percentage from the free throw line, but for some reason, when they get into these spots, they don't connect.
Correct.
And I don't know what it is. It's either splitting them or they miss all of them or whatever it is. And to your point real fast, Bill, about the closer and the alpha dog, you're right. The one that has it in his chest every time out there, I would think in that moment, would be Josh Richardson, but he's not the ideal guy that a lot of people look to because you're not going to go to him over the others. And Richardson did take five shots, and I'm only saying that because I don't think he's afraid of the moment. And 2 for 5, he was in the fourth quarter for only 4 points, and he missed those 3 free throws. And that were also clutch in the fourth quarter as well. So while I say that, I mean, his play in the fourth on Monday doesn't really back me up, but if I had to go, and based off of what we've seen so far, I'm obviously still going to go Embiid, but I would like to see a little more Richardson in the fourth quarter.
And I agree. You'd hope it was Embiid. And, you know, it's just kind of, you know, like I said, Jimmy Lynam said today on an Anthony show, and again, he was talking about Magic and watching the Lakers and those guys, and he just the superstars, and how he said every night they wanted to rip your heart out. They don't have that.
I agree with that.
Embiid and Simmons don't have that. Even against the bad teams, Devon, you know, it's like funny. We beat the bad teams, but it shouldn't be that close.
No, you should stomp on the bad teams.
Where Embiid should be resting most of the fourth quarter.
I totally agree.
It's just, they should just tear everybody's hearts out.
I agree. You know, and they don't have enough of it. Listen, Bill, thanks so much, man. Happy holiday.
Hey, have a great holiday.
You too, man. Thank you so much. I agree with you. And everyone knows that I'm a big fan of both Simmons and Embiid, but I need more. I've argued and I defended these two players, these two star players, and Bill's point of not being superstars. I understand where you're coming from. Embiid is a superstar, but he's not superstar where you're going to put him over some other players. And it's a shame because this should only be one definition of a superstar. But you know what I mean. He is a superstar player. He's just not playing like it every single time out. And that can kind of go into, again, well, Devon, he's not a superstar because he's not doing it the way he's supposed to do it. I was a friend of mine for The Athletic. He's been on the show a few times, Michael Lee from The Athletic, and he wrote a great story on Embiid as he was talking about now, basically carrying the torch from the players that come from Africa, and he highlighted Hakeem Olajuwon and Dikembe Mutombo in the story. Spoke to both of them about Embiid, spoke to Embiid about what those two players said about him. Hakeem Olajuwon is saying all these great things about Joel and how he has everything, but one of the problems is he's so good at everything, he feels like he has to do everything instead of dominating where he needs to dominate, which is on the low block with his back to the basket. Another thing that was said, and I know Tyrone mentioned this as well during their show, is because I know Ty and I also talked about this between the two of us, that in that same piece, Embiid is talking about how he wants to be dominant, right? And Dylan played that soundbite that we
all
played.
I'm trying to be dominant.
Right. He says that, but then he also goes to the coaches and the coaches pushing him to know when to be dominant. And I was like, he wanted to hear. He said, listen, we have Roy Hibbert now on the staff, but Roy Hibbert was a different type of player. And we have all these other great coaches, John Bryan and everyone else, these player development players. But I need somebody to push me who has been there. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? To see it, because he doesn't know when to do it. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Huh?
Don't you watch the film with these guys? Don't you? Jimmy Butler was there to tell you a year ago, we need you, right? He sat next to him on the podium sometimes to take some of the attention off of him during bad games. Even in that final game 7 when Embiid was at the podium, Jimmy Butler didn't have to sit down, but he did because he wanted to take some of the heat off of Joel Embiid. I didn't like reading that in Michael Lee's story on The Athletic, that he needed someone else to tell him when to be dominant. You know they tell him when to be dominant. The same way you know they tell Ben Simmons to shoot the basketball. They have to identify it, understand it, and know when to do it. The same way I need my point guard to understand and know better time and situation at the end of the game, especially when you are also the inbounder who gave it to Tobias Harris, who took the shot, you chased down the offensive rebound, and you did not have the frame of reference of what was going on at that moment to know when to attack, pass, or shoot, or even know the timeout situation. They tell you in the huddle, we have this amount of timeouts. If this doesn't happen, this was what you do next, and we have this much left on the game clock. Shot clock was already off. It was a game clock. 11 seconds, whatever it was, 8 seconds. Jay in Philly next on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, my man?
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Man, listening and talking about the Sixers is so frustrating because we don't have a superstar. We have players that want to be superstars, but they don't even have the mentality to be a superstar. So how you put yourself in the class and say you a superstar or even accept that? And everybody that made a mistake and called them superstars probably like, whoa, I need to cut my tongue off.
Well, the only one between the two that I would have called, and still do, but I understand where there will be a little fight back on that, is Embiid. Simmons is not yet a superstar. He is a star player, but he's a lower-level star player.
No, because his mentality is what? Like, nobody can figure him out. But
no, yes, this is true.
Kardashian.
He has to be better. Embiid has to be better. They have to want it more. When you both come out and say that you want to be defensive player of the year, and in Embiid's case wants to be the MVP of the league, I need better performances. I need performances night in and night out. And when they want
he's
to
never see, going to be MVP of the league. You know why?
Well, listen, if
he wants to woo everybody,
you can't say it. Then don't say it.
He ain't gonna never be MVP.
Don't say it if you're
he
not gonna go out
to
there
do
and
what
get
he
it.
Needs to do to help his team.
Well, so far you're right.
He has to get to the baseline. You going to be MVP, and you thinking to be MVP, get yourself in shape and eat right.
Yeah, he normally.
Right. You ain't even coming in the season in shape.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about he's three-point line. Jay, happy holidays to you and the family, man. Exactly. Thanks so much. He's three-point line. He's actually like 17-foot to 17-foot line. That's what he is. He gets a little deeper, but that's when he stops and has to lug his way back up the court. You know, just come on, dude. They're 11-6. It's not the end of the world. We talk about this stuff because we have to, because they need to be better. And you have to be better, period. 610-632-0975. Kings in town to take on the 76ers. First game back in town after that pitiful loss against the Toronto Raptors on Monday. Guys, we'll get you on the phones when we get back for our final segment before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer. Again, the number is 610-632-0975. Kings, Sixers, 7 o'clock tip right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
635, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons with you. Final segment before we get to Sixers basketball. Kings in town. 11-6 for the 76ers. 7-9, I think I said, for the Sacramento Kings. And I should be better than that. 7-9, yes. For the Sacramento Kings. Buddy Hield, 41 on Monday against Boston. No De'Aaron Fox. So we'll see what these guys do for a rebound type of game after the loss against the Toronto Raptors on Monday for the 76ers. Let me tell you guys real fast, the Fanatic Pro Shop has arrived. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for browsing now, just in time for the holiday gift shopping season. The Fanatic Pro Shop at 975thefanatic.com. You guys know you start that shopping tomorrow, right? So you might as well jump in there, 975thefanatic.com. Give it a breeze. Go check it out. Let's go to the phones. Go to Jay Uptown next on 97.5. What's up, Jay?
Hey, D, what's going on, man?
What's happening, man? How you doing?
Nah, man. You know, I wanted to call and talk about the Sixers, man. You know, no doubt, man, like, Embiid, he can't have no games like that. And I'm not giving him a pass, but I think games like that is on Ben Simmons, because you look at players like LeBron, he played with AD. You know, he a pass-first player, but when they not in the room, he give me the ball. I'm going to go do what I got to do. And Ben got to get that mentality, man. Like, I don't understand it.
I don't either. And but you know his mentality when you see it yourself when he does it, and then when he tells you that he doesn't have to do other things because he's already an all-star the way he already gets it done.
Yeah, I think he's comfortable with where he at, but I can't have that. For us to get where we need, being though, like, I would have loved to keep Jimmy, but Jimmy ain't want to be here. It is what it is. But like the other caller said, we need somebody when it all fell. Give me that ball. Get out the way. Yes. Let me do what I do, man. We need somebody like that. And Ben, it ain't in him. But when your co-star is not doing what he's supposed to do, give him a live, a oop, or just say, look, I'm going to put this on our back. At least I'm going to try. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he came out, Ben Simmons did, the first two possessions for the 76ers out of halftime when they were down only 1 point. And he got two layups, quick, easy, boom, got it done. And you were like, okay, he's going to be aggressive. I think he had 8 in that quarter, and then he didn't take a shot until that ridiculous, I was about to say something else, to that ridiculous shot towards the end of the game, that three-pointer that he attempted. That was the only shot attempt, Jay, in the fourth quarter, in 9-plus minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. The only upside I'm looking like is still early in the season, so, you know we got some time, but... You know, like I said, I ain't giving Embiid a pass, but I've seen Embiid have great games. Ben had good games, but he has yet to show me a great game, like where you like, yo, that's a great play.
Embiid?
I haven't seen that from.
You said Embiid or Ben Simmons?
No, Ben hasn't shown the eye.
Oh, no, I disagree. Game one against Boston, I thought he was the best player out there on the floor.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But I'm saying in the sense of, like, where he goes might give me 30 and 15 or something, or, like, 40 and so you. I don't know, man. Like, and I like Ben, but I just need more from
him. No, I agree. And the two games that stand out for me, Jake, happy holidays to you and the family, man. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, thank you, man.
You got it, man. The two games for me were Boston. I mean, pardon me, Orlando and Toronto. He should have had 25-plus in those two games to help his team win. And specifically in that Orlando game, I wanted 30. And he did. He settled for what he was already doing very well. Nasir in Kensington, next on the Fanatic. Nas.
Hey, what's going on, Devine, man? Nice talking to you.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate you calling.
No problem at all. Listen, I don't know if I'm going to get all this out, right?
Go for it. Run it.
All right, first off, you know, you heard Mikey Miss, you know, speaking, I think, the other day, you know, will and desire. And I think Jimmy Butler's statement pointed to that. Now,
which statement are you talking about?
When he was saying that, you know, how, you know, whoever the Philly teammates, you know, not they don't work like him or whatever.
Oh, you mean in the Yahoo Sports video that he had with Vince Goodwill?
Yeah, because okay. Then I think I heard you mention that somebody said that Embiid practiced like 10 minutes and then go sit down, you know.
Yeah.
So and
or
one
or
the
not
things,
at all.
Yeah. So one of the things I think, you know, especially coming from Embiid's statement, basically I think he was just saying that he's undercoached, you know. And one thing we should probably keep in mind is we got to remember where Embiid come from. He didn't really start playing basketball till late. So we can see that he's lacking discipline, you know, and then what, he spent 1 year in Kansas?
Yes.
And then straight to the league?
Yes.
So he hasn't had a whole lot of coaching in his life, that whole lot of discipline. So, that's definitely missing with him.
I don't disagree with that. However, he's been around long enough, even if he hasn't been on the floor, the time that he sat out, he was able to watch. And you, like we say about Ben Simmons, right? You were able to work on your shooting when you were out that rookie year. Joel Embiid absorbs a lot of stuff. He has a pretty good basketball IQ. So to your point, real fast, Nas, is this, that as a ball player, you know this. Sometimes they're just moments in the game. And you see him where he has a guy on his back and he's like, give it to me, right? And you always give it to him right in his hand where he needs it. He needs to know. And I think he knows when to demand the basketball in that sense and see it there. His problem, when he does do it, he has to recognize when the help is coming. That's the other problem that goes with it.
Yeah, but listen,
turnovers.
He needs a stern coach, man, and Brown's just not stern enough with him. You know what I'm saying? He's such a natural talent that, you know, he thinks he's just good and he's just cool. But like I said, the same token, he needs somebody that's going to push him and get that max out of him. And another thing I was thinking that, you know, we had these players on our team, man. When you see him doing that in practice, You know, you got, hey, Joe, we need you over here. Come on, we about to run this play. Come on, we need you.
Well, let's take it back fast. Let's take it back real fast, Nas, to when he told, when they said in the playoffs, Jimmy Butler pointed it out. He kept saying it. He's doing it, right? He's saying, we need to ride you. Remember in the playoffs where he was, they were mic'd up? We need to ride you all the way home. Nas, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you. We need to ride you all the way home, big fella. Take us home. Right? Take us home. He's heard it. You shouldn't have to hear it every time. Keon and Willow Grove next on the Fanatic. Keon.
All right, Define, what's up? I know we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to get into it real quick with Ben Simmons. I always talk about Ben.
Yes.
So here's the thing. So everybody was saying, you know, he was going to be this generational talent. But I'm going to tell you, we need to lower our expectations, unfortunately. And I'm going to tell you what he's looking like to me.
From the initial expectation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, he's taking the same amount of shot attempts.
Yes.
He hasn't increased.
Agreed.
And he's like the fifth leading scorer on the team.
Yeah,
come on.
At 13 points, which is...
So you know what he's looking like? He's basically turned into Draymond Green for the Warriors.
And I don't mind Draymond Green
Hold on.
Let me just tell you what I mean. I don't mind Draymond Green level of plays, but I need better because you are better. Or you should be better. I don't mind.
Right.
And when I say the Draymond Green stuff, we were talking about it last night. Keon was get into the middle of the floor when stuff is kind of breaking down. Get a lob opportunity for one of your guys on the wing.
Right.
That's what I mean.
But he's not supposed to be that for us.
No, I just mean in spots. I just mean in spots. I don't mean the entire game like that. I mean in spots.
So here's the thing. I talked about it before. We've seen players elevate their game. We've seen Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard elevate their game.
Right.
Now we're seeing Pascal Siakam elevate his game.
Yeah, man.
And we're not seeing it from our guy. And it's killing me.
Yes.
It is killing me. When Michael Jordan left and Scottie Pippen was there, he took the Bulls to the conference finals. Could Ben Simmons do that if Embiid went down? Could he carry this team? No.
I would say no.
Exactly. So he's not supposed to be Draymond Green for us. He's not supposed to average 13 points, 7 rebounds.
No, he is not.
Rebounds.
No.
Right? And that's what we're getting.
And what my expectations, my demands for him this year were going to be up your number from 17 points to 19 or 20. And give you 10-9 in the other two categories where you rack it up. Hey, Keon, we got to get to the game, bro. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and
all
the
right,
family, man.
Take it easy.
Listen, everybody else, guys, I apologize. We had an abbreviated show, obviously, because we get to the Sixers coverage. We're on in the post after the game. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. So I encourage you guys to call back and let's continue this discussion. And certainly whatever observations you have from tonight's game against the Kings, Sixers Kings coming up from the center right here on the Fanatic. Brian Seltzer with the coverage coming up. Thanks so much to Dylan McKinnon, Tyler Zuli, engineering stuff, getting ready things ready for the Sixers coverage. I'm Devon Gibbons. I'll be back after the game in the post following Sixers Kings basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.